Hello and welcome to BSN Extra. I'm your host, Jason Barfield. Boy, we're doing, this is our third podcast of the week. And Bobby Williams back in studio. Well, Bobby, good to have you in. We said we would get back and talk again when there's something to talk about. Well, we have something to talk about. We know what bowl game we're going to, and we know who we're playing. So just announced today, the Bearcats are officially going to the New Orleans Bowl, and they will be taking on another former perennial FCS 1AA power, Georgia Southern, will be the opponent. Just let me know your initial thoughts on the bowl.
I'm so excited. I mean, this is great that we're, you know, our fans can drive to it if and get there, easy to go, and just a really, and it's a long time bowl too. I mean, especially you get the chance to go to New Orleans. We've played the NCAA tournament back in the day there, and then playing Georgia Southern too. Someone that did, you know, when I first got to Sam, they were kind of the model FCS football. Playing for all those national championships. I was joking. I did talk to Willie Fritz this week, and I need to call him back and tell him, since this is announced, that maybe he can flip the coin since he was at Sam Houston and Georgia Southern and toss the coin pregame for us. And he has the New Orleans
connection. And he has the New Orleans.
So we can kind of cover all the bases with that.
We actually, I think we brought that up in the office the other day. We were talking about, you know, the Willie Fritz connection with, you know, Sam Houston, Georgia Southern. And I was like, well, he also coached at Tulane. So he's been in New Orleans as well. So we're hitting all of the bases there. But no, you know, it's funny when I look at the matchup and you see it's Georgia Southern. And in all of our years as we started making our run, you know, we kind of made it right at the tail end of Georgia Southern before they started making their move up. And so that was, you know, that's one of those teams from the 1AA days that we never crossed paths with. Had that one opportunity in 2011 where they were in the semifinals against North Dakota State. We were in the semifinals against Montana, and it was us in North Dakota State. And so we never got a chance to play Georgia Southern. So I think this is kind of an interesting matchup that we get them in our first bowl game.
Yeah, there's another time, 2004, when we went to the semifinals. I was on the committee then, and we were going to Georgia Southern, ironically, in that first round. But things changed. They wound up sending, I think, New Hampshire down there, and then that's how we got the home game against Western Kentucky. So we've kind of dodged them a little bit, but now we're going to be playing them finally.
The original Adrian Peterson from back in the day when Georgia
saw him play because I went to a lot of those championship games.
So just talk to me a little bit about what this process has been like, and finally getting to the point of confirming, you know, what bowl game we're going to is.
It's really interesting going through this. We have lots of calls with Conference USA and the ADs and in Conference USA and discussion about some of the opportunities that go. But, you know, I was really surprised. I thought coming into this it would be a little more structured, still a little bit of how it used to be with you know, the matchups with teams and who the bowls would like to have and different things like that. So that was something that I thought was a little different, but it wasn't. And even the time frame of announcing, of course, I know that with the opportunity that we could have be playing in a championship game this week, kind of delayed some of that and from there. But everybody at Conference USA and the bowls, they come and talk to us in spring meetings. That's always been fine. So you can develop those relationships with our bowl tie-ins. And that's a fun process too. And Conference USA has been really good about communicating with us the opportunities and where we were. We also had a say in where we were going to as well.
I was going to ask, how much input do you get in this process? I mean, do you get to say, we would prefer this or that, or we would prefer not to do that?
It was more or less, you know, also looking at our fan experience. I think that was important. We were able to provide input to that. Also, the timing of it, before Christmas, after Christmas, because you have to make adjustments in your program, you know, with players still here, coaches still here, the recruiting process. So we were able to kind of provide what would be best for us in that aspect. But at this point, we were open to go anywhere. We were just excited to be in a bowl, and we were open to going anywhere.
So what does that week look like for the team? Have you had a chance to really look at the itinerary and kind of what sort of activities will be involved, or you know, what is that week going to look like?
I think one thing, it's not as long a process as it used to be back in the day. But I think, you know, for example, I think we're playing on Thursday, and the team probably will come in or arrive sometime on Sunday, and then there'll be various arrival times for administrators, you know, and others that, that come in because of the activities that go on. And so, but the main focus will be the team. You want that team experience to come in, have a good positive experience, but also they're there. We got a chance to win 10 games. And when I talked to the team on Sunday, that was the focus that I wanted to, you know, and I think they're all in on that. And the coaches, that we have something to do. It, you know, at the FCS level, we had a lot of opportunities and we did win 10 games or more. At the FBS level, it's a little more challenging to do that, and to have the opportunity to do it, we definitely want to be a part of that if we can.
I'm about to say, you know, you look at that number and, you know, I think I saw a graphic the other day about the number of teams in FBS football who have never won 10 games in a season. I mean, that's that is a mark that is just not – everybody doesn't get to hit that mark.
Exactly. And, you know, our first official year after two-year transition to have an opportunity to do that is pretty special. And we're excited. And I think, and I'm really proud of the way our team and our coaches and support staff are embracing that. I think they see that, too. They want to be a part of it. And as a leader of this department, you're really glad they're having that opportunity to do it.
All right, I'm going to hit you with a little bit of trivia here. This will be the, you know, you look at the history of this stadium and everything that they've hosted, you know, national championships. Obviously, it's the site of the Sugar Bowl. Super Bowl has been there. This will be the third stadium the Bearcats have played in this season that has hosted a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Do you know the other two?
I know Rice for sure. Okay. And also I played when my senior year, we played Tulane. We played in the Superdome. So I have that experience too. Oh goodness. Let me see. Oh God, man. I'm sorry.
It's also in Houston.
Oh, NRG. Okay. Duh. Man,
Rice Stadium, because that's the one most people miss.
Well, the funny part about that is my dad was coaching high school football when that Super Bowl came. And so with him playing at Rice, we go to the game. And back then you could stand where the old locker rooms were at Rice Stadium, and you could watch the Vikings walk in, you watch the Dolphins walk in. I mean, you're 10 feet from them at the farthest way. And I remember watching the Dolphins come in and Coach Shula, and my dad and I are standing there. And then about 10 years later, when my dad's working for the Dolphins and Coach Shula, we're sitting in, I'm still coaching here, but I went in for training camp with them just for a few days. And I'm just sitting there with Coach Shula and some of the guys, the coaches and that had been on that team with my dad. And I turned to my dad and I said, somebody had told us in 1973 that, you know, when we watched the Dolphins walk in, that 10, 11, 12 years later, you're working here with Coach Shula and I'm here, what would you have said? Just like unbelievable how life, things come in your way and next thing you do that. So that's why I remember that Super Bowl too.
So that'll be a good trip. And like you said, it's fan friendly. And I think that was, you know, when I was looking at the bowl possibilities, and obviously, you know, there was talk about Bahamas and talk about Hawaii and everything like that. And while those would be great destinations and maybe one day, I think it's great that it's a location that all of our fans have a chance to go to.
And I think the first one that was really, we wanted to fan, you know, the energy at the stadium has been so amazing this year, and the excitement, and I think it's good for our fan base to be able to come and travel, make it easier, especially right before the holidays and everything that everybody's doing.
So let's switch gears a little bit. Also this week was the official Bowers Stadium demolition / groundbreaking ceremony. You know, I'm used to the ceremonies where you put the shovel in the dirt.
Oh, no.
This one was new. It was knocking down stacks of bricks as symbolizing the demolition of the old press box and the process of the new one.
Well, you remember back last January when we were knew the press box was happening, I went and put a shovel in the ground, took a picture of it because I've been waiting so long to do that. And now to have the opportunity with the sledgehammer to knock the bricks down, even though it wasn't on the current press box, we had to, because of rain, we were inside. But that was exciting and really fun. And it's a dream come true, and I just want to thank Dr. White and Amanda Withers and our chancellor and the Board of Regents for making this dream that I've had for a long time happen. And it wouldn't happen without their support. And I'm just so proud of the fact that we're going to get it done. You know, it's kind of a little nostalgia, too, last Friday when we were I was walking, sitting in there. It's going to be the last time we really sit in this building. But spent so much time in that building as a coach, as an administrator, and a lot of great events have happened since 1986 in that facility in Bauer Stadium.
Yeah, it's a project that I'm sure has been a long time coming. And, you know, just thinking about all of the different meetings that you've been in over the years, if you've gone through countless numbers of redesigns.
You've been a part of them.
Yes, I've been in those as well, where, you know, planning for what it's going to look like and, you know, all that work that never saw the light of day.
Yeah.
When your sledgehammer hit the stack of bricks and officially started this process, just kind of what was that thought process like for you?
Well, it's funny because all of those projects that we did that never really saw, a lot of that is incorporated in the new one. It's been expanded. Even to when Dr. White and I made our tour 2 years ago at various different facilities, not only in Conference USA, but others, to see what we needed to get in there. And I really love her way of putting it. She wants it very bougie. She wants it Huntsville bougie and basically just one big atmosphere that's a great atmosphere for our donors, our fans, and everything like that. And I think we've captured it. It's really very positive. We've come a heck of a long way. I know when the other day that Janet, as I was walking out the door, she said she knew it was happening. She couldn't come. She said, I just want to remind you of when you first got to Sam Houston that, you know, and it's funny coming from Janet, because at that time her future husband was in the press box at Pritchett Field, and that was open, and you could literally yell down to my defensive backs and go, "Scoot back, you need to do this," and all that. And all she saw was her future husband hanging out of that press box yelling. And now, you know, you couldn't do that at Bowers with the current one because we didn't hear any outside. It was all glassed in. But with the new press box, that will be different. You're going to be able to have different areas with outside seating, kind of a loge area, party deck type atmosphere, and then inside club and suite levels. So it's going to be fun.
What souvenirs are you going to take from the old press box?
You know, I know I thought about that. You know, there's so many things because, you know, it's different than what it was in 86 because if you remember, we had a huge press area on the 50-yard line. The president's box on the towards the field house was a lot smaller then, and then we had different booths for PA and scoreboard and stats and everything like that. And then up at the top was purely open deck for film, and then we had two coaches' booths, home and away, and then the radio booths. And that's pretty much all it was until 04 when we kind of tore everything out, redid it, and had to move all the press and TV up to the top and all the, you know, operations. And then we had all those suite levels and president's box expansion too. So I don't know. It's I'll find something. But, you know, some of those pictures that we've had of some of the history in past games over the years that were up there will be something that I'd like to have too.
I've got my souvenir already.
What's that?
I have the audio video marker for the door for the video board control room. I took the 412 that says audio video on it. That's already come.
Well, in the control room, originally we added those elevator shafts, and we only got one elevator, and then we turned that into several things on the different levels.
The control room is actually in my office right now. So
I saw that one.
Yeah, so we still got to figure a lot of that out. Yeah. But so that's exciting too, and you know, I'm sure we'll look forward to kind of talking about that as that process goes on. Anything else going on around?
Kind of a busy week.
Around the department? What else is happening? We're trying to hire a head football coach.
That's right.
How about you just want to give us an update kind of where you are in that process and anything you can share there?
It's been a really good week. I approached it much like I did when we hired Chris Mudge after Jason left. Spent this first week, you know, making connections with alumni, donors, people on campus, staff in the athletic department. You know, managing the team. You know, I mentioned earlier, I think, that when Willie left, we thought everything was going to fall apart, and we've continued that same type of approach right now. Of course, you know, all the phone calls, all the text from agents, from search firms, from alumni, donors, colleagues, talking to them. I've spent a lot of time this past few days with that. You know, some of the first calls I've had with like Willie Fritz and Casey Keeler. Those are the first people that you talk about because, you know, two different styles of doing things and then addressing what we need to do moving forward. I've talked to former coaches here, former players here, but people like Josh McCown, even Tom Herman and some others that have come into play, Coach Randleman. You know, and
is he wanting to get back into coaching?
we kind of joked about that too. He always calls me and says, "Coach Williams, I hear you have an opening." I'm available if you need me. You know, so that's it's encouraging too because we're a different place than we were. We haven't had to do this very often, and so I much like in basketball, I wanted to take my time to see and evaluate because there's nobody on this campus or involved in Bearcat football that knows it as well as I do. They may know it, you know, 43 years involved in it. I think I have an idea of what's involved, but I've only been here too. So I want to talk to other people and their perceptions of what's going on now. What is, you know, who we are at this point in time. There's a lot of things that we're still very proud of who we are as far as environment and the type of people that we have and environment for students and different things like that. But there's a, you know, like when I'm talking to Josh and we're talking a transfer portal, we're talking, the way they do it in the NFL. You know, they've got salary caps, we've got scholarships, we've got NIL, those type of things. And he can view it not only from perspective of he's a Bearcat, but he's at the NFL level, he's worked with colleges. And he's got two sons that are in this whole thing, so that's a good example. Plus, you know, others who have been here and been at other places, and comparing what's going on, you know, that's exciting. And then and the candidate pool is completely different than what we've ever dealt with, in a very positive way. Not that the past hasn't been, but we keep evolving and talking to Power Five coaches and you know, whether they're coordinators or assistant associate head coaches, Power Five current head coaches that have been around us and providing their input and recommendations. Everybody that we're, you know, the process that we've gone through that, and now we're in the process of talking to them today, as a matter of fact, having conversations with coaches, encouraging them, gauging their interest, encouraging them to do the bureaucracy and human resource application, those type of things, and being respectful of their time because some of them are playing in championships and some of them are still involved in the recruiting process and different things like that. And then trying to get on-campus visits next week and going through that. And I don't think I've ever been as energized talking to the coaches and the people that are interested in this job. They have Sam Houston backgrounds. They have other experiences as well. And doesn't mean all of them have Sam Houston background, but it's really encouraging to who we're talking to. I wish I could. I know everybody's going, well, tell us who. I wish I could. You know, I wish I could at this point in time. But when we get to the people that we'll bring on campus, then we'll be able to share that a little bit more. But I'm just really excited. And coming with the last few weeks of the surgery and different things like that, the last week have been really encouraging for me. But, you know, getting back, I think I mentioned last time with the team during the game at Liberty, meeting with everybody that I have. I'm a little tired. I'm not as strong as I used to be from that standpoint, but it's energizing to talk to the people that really understand this place.
All right, so you can't give names. I was hoping we might have a list today, but
everybody will rip me for that.
I get it. You can't give names, but you know, you've talked in the past about getting a phone call from Senator Tom Osborne. Anybody that you've gotten calls from or heard from in this process that you're like, wow, I can't believe they're reaching out to me. I never thought I would have a conversation.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of coaches, when they're trying to get to the athletic director, decision maker, you know, they a lot of name drops, and a lot of people I know and that will take my call that at a certain high levels, which is nice to be in that business from there. But the interesting was Thurman Thomas.
Thurman Thomas.
It's like, I don't know Thurman. I know he's from the Fort Bend area and went to Willow Ridge and that type of thing. But he texts me and Mr. Williams, and I won't tell you the name, but he was supporting somebody, and he kind of even threw it out there that, you know, maybe he and Barry Sanders would help raise some millions on that. That's kind of interesting. You know, when Coach Osborne called, he was a congressman, and I remember Congressman Osborne would like to speak to you, and if you kind of pause there. Well, Thurman is kind of neat, but I was able to – I did text him, Thurman, back and said – I said, this is a long shot, but, you know, my dad was a scout for the Dolphins. When Coach Shula retired, he wound up moving to the Bills. I couldn't remember if that was during your time. Did you know my dad? And he goes, yes, great man, blah, blah, blah. It's ironic that my last 2 years with Buffalo was his first 2 years, and we had lots of conversations about Miami and Buffalo, and then I wound up finishing my career with Miami. So some of those things, those are always fun to deal with, and that was kind of random, too.
The Thurman Thomas Barry Sanders Broadcast Center has a certain ring to it that I can get behind that. So,
yeah. So, but, you know, and also just having conversations with Dr. White, and she's excited, too. I think this is a really good time with the energy that we've had with our fan base the last this year. Everything finally moving on facilities, with going to a bowl game, and the encouragement with the type of candidate that we have for our position. And I felt that in basketball, too. I mean, you knew it would change with this move to Conference USA and FBS, and it's really, really a positive for us.
All right, so I know you got to run. You got other stuff going on, but I do want to ask one more question. Last time we talked on Monday, you said timetable, you were hoping to maybe have something by the bowl game. We now know the date is December 19th.
Okay.
So we now have a bowl game date. Is that still looking like a realistic time frame, or do you think maybe we're going to bleed a little bit past that?
No, I think we're on track. Everything that we've processed through the week and where we're at, and we're in a kind of a recruiting phase, too, with potential candidates, and working with human resources and work. You know, another thing that's really changed around here that I have to thank our human resources, Rhonda Biese and Amanda Withers in finance and operation. I remember we talked last time that when we hired after Coach Randleman retired, it took us 6 weeks to get the job posted from that perspective. Travis Lee's working with everybody on campus took us 24 hours to get it posted. And that's really big time for us. And so that's why we're able to the communication level is better. We're working together as we go. And I even said last time, this is always in process, that we always have to be prepared for this. And I think that's gotten a lot better over time. So unless something changes, we get a curveball or whatever, something happens, we're still on that same time frame. That's what we're telling candidates as well.
All right, well, Bobby, appreciate you coming in and taking a little time to give an update. I'm sure we'll probably do something similar to this again, maybe next week.
Hopefully early next week, and maybe we can talk a little more specific.
Give a little more update then. You know, be sure and check out all the stuff we've got going on. Again, we know the bowl game. It's the New Orleans Bowl, December 19th against Georgia Southern. I talked to Ben Reichard, and he will have everything ready for ticket information just as soon as we have it. So be on the lookout on GoBearcats.com, all of our social media channels. Just as soon as we've got all of that information for our fans, we will have that posted and ready to go. And again, we're gonna have plenty of podcasts and kind of offerings as we build towards a bowl game and a head coach hiring. So check out all the stuff we've got, and you know, we'll keep everybody posted just as soon as we have info to share.